Obviously, as I've gotten older and had the opportunity to travel all over and eat different honeys, you get to see the different varietals and the different flavors and the profiles and the different odors that they give off. It's almost like a fine wine. Certainly put together a business plan. We're just trying to make it work. Our model right now is online retail, but hopefully we can expand from here.
It's time for conversations about our food and how it's grown on Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson. Well, if you're looking for a fresh start, you can look in a lot of different ways. Some of the people that are on Farm to Table Talk decide that they want to be farmers or they want to farm part-time. Others are looking at a way that they can be involved with foods they love and perhaps create an online retail business and really with one of some of their favorite foods. And that's exactly what my guest today did. His name is Matt Colemorgan, and Matt has created a company called Be Conscious Artisanal Honey. He's got an interesting story and an interesting way of sourcing honey from around the world, marketing it on the internet. And again, he's involved with a product he loves, and he's getting a business started. And I'm really happy to welcome Matt to Farm to Table Talk. Matt, why did you decide to start this online retail company?
Well, it was life change, actually. I got laid off last Memorial Day. So we've only been in business about a year. We've only been selling honey for a couple of months. But when that happened, a good friend of mine who had been talking to me for several years about going into possible business together knew I always loved food and knew I particularly loved honey. I've always loved it. We have memories. My parents would get us, fast food when we were really little, and we'd get the honey packets for our chicken nuggets. And I've always had that sort of memory and maybe the nostalgia behind it. But obviously, as I've gotten older and had the opportunity to travel all over and eat different honeys, you get to see the different varietals and the different flavors and the profiles and the different odors that they give off. It's almost like a fine wine in many instances, all the different varietals that are out there. And you can begin to distinguish, where the honey came from, what plants they came from. So kind of all those things coming together all at one time is just the timing happened, and here we are.
No, it's interesting because you're talking about, being laid off a year ago. And, of course, as you know, we've got huge numbers of people laid off now. And I think some of them are probably going through the same thing, thinking that maybe my job's not going to come back. I'm going to do something else. And so I'm curious, turning the clock back to that time when you said you were laid off. Now, had you been on a certain career track that there was something you had training for or experience in that you were on that track and then came to an end when you were laid off?
Out of college, I went into the financial services industry and worked for institutional product providers, institutional money managers. Mm-hmm. And so I was in outside sales there. I had a traveling sales job, and I have two young kids. I have a three-year-old, and my youngest just turned two weeks ago. So I was traveling all the time, and, it was almost a blessing when it happened. I saw I was missing a lot of stuff being gone all the time. And it worked out, and I was fortunate to have the opportunity to do this.
So you always liked honey, but that's still a big step. So somebody started to give you some ideas that maybe you could pursue a business that you could be able to source and bottle and market honey.
For sure. And so one of the things, obviously, with your love for honey is you begin to see more about it, you read more about it, research more about it, and you begin to see the dirty world behind honey. It's one of the most adulterated foods on the planet.
Yeah.
And it's no different here in the United States with, the regulations and whatnot and what can be called honey and, everything on the grocery store shelf all looks and tastes the same, and that's for a reason. It's all blended, mixed together. Some cases there's sweeteners or corn syrups that are mixed into it, and you begin to see all this different stuff of all the adulteration that takes place, and the common consumer doesn't know that. And so that's kind of where we came up with our name, Be Conscious. And we have we work with a blockchain company, and then we have a QR code on every jar that every customer can scan, and it can trace back to the beekeeper who harvested that jar. We don't just say we don't adulterate our honey; we actually prove it.
That's really interesting. So you are sourcing the honey. Now, you don't have bees yourself, is that right?
Correct. So we like to say that I've actually taken some sensory classes. There's a beekeeper in Connecticut that actually puts on these classes from a company out in Italy that does honey sensory classes, almost like a wine sommelier.
Yeah.
So I've taken several of these classes and think I have a distinguished palate when it comes to the different flavors and profiles of honey. So we've sampled hundreds, maybe thousands of honeys, and we really try to find what we think is the best tasting and highest quality product. So we don't necessarily have our own bees, and the reason being there would ultimately be an embedded bias to the honey that we sold.
Sure.
And this isn't a discredit or anything, but I have yet to meet a beekeeper. They all are, you know, fantastic people and work. It's backbreaking work to do what they do. But I have yet to meet one that doesn't think they have the best honey. So there would be that embedded bias there. So we do not have our own bees at the time.
Two things I've heard about. One is if you want to deal with allergies, isn't it that they suggest you try to find a local honey?
So some people do vouch for that. There's honestly no research. There's research been done on other aspects of honey in terms of different positive health effects that it has, and immunization and antibacterial and stuff like that. I know that there's definitely, you know, one of the wives' tales about it. So people do vouch for it. There's pollens in all honey. So I don't know that. I mean, people do say it, people do live by it, but I've also known people that have said it doesn't work. So, you know, take it for what it is, I guess.
Well, and the other thing, the people that are used to tasting honey, can you tell what crop the bees were probably where they were pollinating and
absolutely.
Affecting the flavor?
Similar to, you know, smelling wine and then tasting wine. It's a very similar process in terms of, you know, mixing around the honey so you can get the aromas of it, and you begin to smell it, and then ultimately, you know, taste it, and you can. We try to focus on single origin honeys, so it's certainly more profound in the honeys that we sell into the varietals, because it is typically only one flower source that it comes from. But absolutely, one of my partners, or my partner was, right after I took some of these classes, we met with a beekeeper out in Ohio. And he brought some samples of his honey, and I started tasting it, and I was naming off what I thought it tasted like. And the beekeeper's like, I don't know. He's like, but I do know that there's linden in there, and I do know that there's you know, some blossom in there. And those were two of the ones that I had mentioned. So it does work.
So when you start, did you develop a business plan? You said, you know, like, I'm going to come up with three or four to start with, and then we're going to buy X amount, bottle, jar them, label them, and sell them on the internet or something like that?
Exactly. So, yeah, we came up with a business plan prior to really starting. We didn't sell our first jar till right before Thanksgiving. So from Memorial Day until then, it was, you know, all of the behind the scenes and being able to source our products, being able to source, you know, just our glassware and all this the stuff, and making sure we had our presentation, and we created a shipping box that a lot of individuals like for gift boxes. It displays three honeys, and they kind of float in a box, so we don't need to use bubble wrap or anything. So more conscious of the environment, and since the jars float, they ship really well, and the glass never breaks. So we did a lot of work behind the scenes. We definitely put together a business plan. We were fortunate enough that we're able to self-fund business. So we're just trying to make it work at this time. You know, it's our model right now is online retail, but hopefully we can expand from here.
So you answered one of what my next question was going to be about how to get it going, because a lot of ventures like this would have to get Kickstarter or something else to get some extra funding to get, because it's not inexpensive. I mean, you got to buy those jars, you got to get the honey, you got to get the boxes, build the website, put in all that to facilitate the orders. So it's good. You can use your own credit cards and whatever you had to be able to get it started. And then where was the first place you sourced honey?
So the first actual place was from Brazil. We just, through networking, we were introduced to some individuals in Brazil. And actually one thing that we wanted to focus on initially was organic honey, because it's really difficult to find organic honey in the United States. But secondary to that, it's really difficult to find good organic honey in the United States. So everything that you pretty much see on the shelf comes from elsewhere. You can't really find domestic certified organic honey just because we use too many GMO crops. Too many people spray their yards or their flower beds or whatever it may be with certain herbicides or pesticides. So because of that, there's always traces in U.S. honey. It just, that's the way it goes. So it's really hard to get it. So we had to go outside the country, and we were introduced to some people in Brazil and tasted some fantastic honeys and worked with a couple of beekeepers off the start. So those were our initial honeys. One honey, because the beekeepers don't ultimately produce thousands of pounds of it, we actually, our Sipa Uva honey, we actually sourced from three different beekeepers and jarred them all individually. We never put them all together like most other people would do, just because it costs more to do it our way. But we're keeping it true to who they are. And so our Sipa Uva, we had three different beekeepers with the same honey. So we sold that. We had another Marmeliero honey, which is a more of a marshmallowy-like flavor. That was another beekeeper down in Brazil. And we began to expand our network from there, but we wanted to start with organic and really good organic honey, and that's kind of where we went. But now we have some domestic beekeepers, some possible partnerships in Canada as we continue to grow.
Now, I would imagine Brazil is not USDA certified, though, organic.
They sure are, and they actually have all the geomaps, which is really cool, because they have to have all the certifications and the stamps, but they have all the maps and everything that you can literally pinpoint where the hives are. But a lot of them, it's actually not difficult because they're just basically thrown in the middle of a rainforest in some of these communities, and there's nothing else around for the bees to taint any of the product.
Well, now that's interesting right there. I mean, if you actually are getting some of the honey that's that they're in the rainforest, I would think that'd be some of what you would sell. It's not, they're not slashing, burning, and doing the destruction of the rainforest to be able to put a soybean field. So I would imagine these are kind of sort of smaller operations that are tucked in various areas then in the rainforest?
Yeah, I mean, so if you think about it, the hive produces maybe 50 to 70 pounds of honey in a year. And each beekeeper produces maybe 500 pounds, depending on how big they are. They have, anywhere from, call it 10 to 30 hives, somewhere in that range.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on, how much they produce and the volumes. So, yeah, they're typically smaller operations for sure.
And they put it in jars. Are they jarred down there and then shipped, or are they put in a larger container to bring up here and drop?
We see them in, it's all basically right from the hive, so when we get it, we skim some of the extra parts of the hive that were left in there off the top, and then we put it in jars up here. We actually work with a co-packing facility here in Denver. We're actually fortunate that these types of places exist pretty in abundance here in Colorado. So we work with a co-packer that actually, so they have all the equipment, and we pay them on a per unit basis to jar all of our honey and put the label on it for us, and then we take it from there.
Do they come up in barrels or buckets or something in a plane?
They come on a boat, and they come in 55-gallon drums.
Huh. How long can it be? How long before it has to be processed? How long? What's the life of honey before it?
So honey, honey actually never goes bad.
Really?
Stored properly, it will last forever. There's been stories that they found honey in Egyptian tombs that was still edible. It's just, because of all of the different bacterias and whatnot that are in the honey itself, it preserves for life. You know, it'll crystallize. And many people think when it crystallizes, you got to throw it out. Raw honey will actually crystallize very quickly because of all the pollens in it. So that's a sign that you have high quality, unfiltered, unprocessed honey. Cause it does typically crystallize rather quickly, but all you got to do if you, some kind of sort of like it that way, cause it's easily spreadable on things. But if you like it liquefied, all you gotta do is put it in some warm water and stir it with a spoon until it liquefies.
So you're getting these barrels of honey that are put on a ship in Brazil and they come up and then they're what, put on a truck in LA or someplace and trucked up to,
yep.
They go
through
Denver.
Our importer goes through Chicago.
Oh, so they got to go to the Great Lakes into Chicago and then trucked back to Denver then.
And then trucked over to Denver, yep.
Wow. Wow, what a story right there. And once you get these barrels and then you're putting them in jars and you've had a label designed and you're sealing them and then you're promoting them online. So you got a website that you could order. So how are you promoting it? How are you advertising?
So we've been working with various bloggers to try and get our name out there. Again, we're a brand new company. We've only been selling since right before Christmas, right before Thanksgiving, really. So it's just trying to get our name out there. So we do social media postings, Facebook, Instagram. We try to run email marketing campaigns, try to work with these bloggers, trying to work with various distribution centers. But we just don't want to get too big where we have to adulterate our process and then be like everybody else. But we're just trying to grow our name and get as much education out there as possible that, you know, the product we're providing is a high quality product versus what typically everybody's used to.
So one of the things about your product, it's got a story that you're using single origin. And you're making a point of the fact that you can go back to, you know, the person, the beekeeper that was producing it and have the story of the bees and the location, that it's going to be easy for your customers to know. Could you explain how you're getting that story passed on to your customers?
You know, I wish I could say that people are getting it. You know, we try to do every event we do, before everything took place. Currently, we were trying to do honey tasting events and different markets and just try word of mouth, explain the technology that we have. And, you know, people see that it's cool because you can literally grab your iPhone and take a picture of the little code on the back of the jar, and it will take you to the traceability aspect of the honey. It will give you different features of it. We'll talk about where the honey came from. You can see it on the map, you know, whether it's in Sao Paulo, Brazil, or whether it's in Temecula, California, you can see where your product actually came from. So it's all, we're trying to educate right now because we're literally the only company in this industry that provides traceability because everybody else blends their honey. And we're the only ones that have this type of technology to do that. So we're just trying to educate as much as possible by all of the ads we're running and so on and so forth, and trying to get these writers, some of these writers, to talk more about us.
Well, educate me here, because it's a blockchain technology you use, right?
Yep.
So what's the simple explanation of blockchain?
So essentially, somebody can put an instance in time, and once that instance is put into the system, it ultimately can never be changed. So as we're tracking our honey, all that data is input into the system to show that, hey, your honey came from Sao Paulo, Brazil, from beekeeper A. And so that was put in the system on this date. And then it went to the exporter from Brazil, and he didn't do anything to the honey. He just accepted it and put it on a boat, came to the importer. There was another instance of time put in. Also saying that basically he just provided a touch pass to us, and then we got the honey at our co-packer from there. So all of these instances are tracked in time to show that the flow of the product, and ultimately that information can never be changed and never can be adulterated. But you know, that's what's cool about what we're doing is literally every commercial honey packer out there today will buy really good honey like we do from Brazil, but then they'll buy really, really cheap honey that's from Vietnam or from India that's cost 12 cents a pound, and they'll blend it all together and put it on the shelf with a little bit of corn syrup and say that this is really good honey. So we're trying to change the perception, cause some disruption.
Yeah, it's like those Napa wines that are getting blending in up to 20% of the wine can come from Fresno, where it's a lot cheaper than Napa. So now that's interesting. So starting at the farm, though, do they put a code? Is there some number or something that you give them that they attach to the barrel?
So it's an individual. It's one of our partners in Brazil that kind of takes care of those aspects right now, and ultimately, as we grow and begin to expand partnerships, one of the issues we ultimately run into down there is we have the technology, but not every beekeeper down there, for instance, has the technology to do it. Like, they don't have the electricity in their communities, so they might not all have the cell phones to be able to input the data. So that's where our partners down there, as they're working with these beekeepers, track all that data for us at this particular time. But the technology is there, and as we build out our partnerships and as we grow, hopefully we can provide that technology to them and have it be true to what it is.
Yeah, I'm just trying to understand the data.
Yep. So for instance, our beekeeper in Ohio, one of our partners that will have a honey, he has an app on his phone from the technology. We work with this company called Tag One mm-hmm. Enterprises. They're all about traceability and using the blockchain. They work with a lot of other food companies and CBD types of companies. So they built the technology, and essentially the beekeeper has an app, and they can take a picture of their hives and put it on the app. And so they can sort of input the data. And we have certain fields about the varietal of honey, what floral source they're coming from, sort of different menus that they can choose from. And we capture all this data, not all that we share, but we capture all of it inside. And, from that point, everybody essentially has this app that they can use to input their own instances into the blockchain.
So
and then from there, we have a separate enterprise where we can view the data. And then there's a third aspect of it where when you take a picture or the customer takes a picture of the QR code on our jar, they can see this information.
Now, that's really interesting. So you're getting a number or everything that's come to you, all the hands that passes through, you've got the information on that product all the way back to the beekeeper, or maybe the farm and the location and everything, and it reaches you in Denver. And then the individual jars are coordinated then for a QR code that has all that history if you're using the QR code.
Right. So it is a little bit more cost prohibitive for us, but we made that choice to do it for the betterment. So, yeah, every barrel that comes through, essentially we get, it's call it 500 to 600 pounds from a beekeeper. So we'll jar that honey. It's typically about 800 jars. And then we have to change out our labels, change out the barrels, change out our honey, and then jar the next one. And then do that for each individual beekeeper who we do receive honey from.
Wow. Well, that's really interesting. Now, I think what I explained, that the QR code, most people might know what it looks like. They see it on most packages anymore. I'm trying to see if I see something right over here on my desk that has QR code on it. No, they got the UC codes, but some of them have the QR code. For a while, everybody thought it was going to really catch on. It didn't so much, but at first you had to have a QR reader. But now most of the iPhones, you can just point your camera at them, can't you?
That's correct. And from my understanding, because I think somebody did it, some of the newer Android phones, the same deal. The QR reader is built into the phone. So all you do is look to take a picture of it. You just tap on it like you would someone's face to like zoom in on it to take a picture, and it'll take you to the technology.
So in this case, you get an individual QR code. Does it take it to just your site or to the the information about that particular honey?
It takes not to our site. It takes them to the Tag One. They built technology. It takes them to basically it's pulling all the data from their systems of all the instances that were captured. So it's Tag One technology, not our technology.
Now, I wondered, having since, you know, obviously we're doing a podcast, but would it be possible to be able to have the voice of the farmer or the beekeeper, where it came from, talking about the story of when it was still in the hive, that when they go to that site and actually be able to listen to somebody that was, you know, collected the honey?
Yep, we can certainly try that. Our beekeepers in California, I would have to double check and make sure that they would be open to that conversation. So that's, I'll just clear that with all my partners. But our beekeepers in Brazil, many of them only do speak Portuguese. So that might be difficult.
Yeah, it might be difficult. We know people that speak Portuguese, though. got. In fact, there's a lot of Portuguese in the valley that still speak the language here too. But you'd have to have a translation. Anyway, it's interesting. I've always been intrigued by being able to take everything there is on the farm and all the story of the origins of our food products and have it more readily available to the, you know, to the customer. And clearly they want to know more and more about where their food comes from and how it's grown. And you've got an interesting story too, because it would surprise people that you would have organic artisanal honey coming from Brazil. But on the other hand, they're not surprised to find their coffee coming from Brazil.
Correct.
And so some of our better coffees that we have available are single origin from, and I really like Brazilian coffee. I can see where there could be a real opportunity to clarify that with honey. So I think it's exciting what you're doing.
Well, I appreciate that. We're excited about it, too. This was really awesome. We got to have a conversation.
Let me also have you give the website that people want to be able to get online and see more information about your honey.
For sure. We try to keep it short and sweet. So it's bkshoney.com. So it's B as in boy, K as in kite, S as in Sam, honey.com, bkshoney.com.
You've been listening to Farm to Table Talk with your host, Roger Wasson.